People are wondering, Armageddon? Not yet. Welcome to this Present Truth program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is the 12th of March, 2026, Thursday. Are we at the brink of Armageddon? No, we're not. It's out 8 years, seven, 8 years still. But Christ in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, the disciples asked him, "What will be the sign of your coming?" One of the statements of Christ is, "There will be wars and rumors of wars." Well, presently we are in conflict, have been in conflict since 2023. Now we're in more conflict in Iran. Afghanistan and Pakistan now are pretty much at an undeclared war also. One of the signs people want to know, you know, they want a sign. One of the signs of the time of the end of the world, they use that term, the end of the world, the end of mankind's history. Well, we're not at the end of the world, and mankind is not going to cease to exist ever, but there will be a time of great conflict before Christ returns a second time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there will be a time for war, a time for peace, a time to love, a time to hate. There are these periods in mankind's history for each of these experiences. We are presently in the time of war, in the time of hate. The world will be in this experience until Christ returns. People that are not Christian are now beginning to pay attention to the book of Revelation, to prophecies that they've heard of in passing, wondering, could this be a sign with the wars presently in Iran? Could this be a sign? Well, war is a sign. Jesus Christ said there would be a sign before he returns, wars. Are they going to escalate? Yes. Then in Joel chapter 3, Joel says that there would be a time. Joel chapter 3, verse 14, there would be millions and millions, multitudes, multitudes in a valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun, the moon shall be darkened. The stars will withdraw their shining. And God will come out of Zion or Jerusalem, and he will establish his kingdom. And also in the same chapter, in verse, beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, "I am mighty." Come quickly, all you surrounding nations, gather yourself to Armageddon. Bring your mighty men of war. Let the nations prepare themselves. Come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there I will judge the nations. Now that is in the future. That is not presently. If one of the main signs of our time, especially now in 2026, is to watch for a coming war with Russia and different countries that will bring their armies to present-day Jordan, the nation of Jordan. If it is this summer, if it is this coming summer here in 2026, by late July, August, early September, then that war, when it is concluded, 7 years following, we will be in the season of Armageddon. Will Russia come this year? Well, there's a possibility. I don't know with what's happening in Iran presently. It's forcing the nations to the north of Iran to... Vladimir Putin is very aware of what's happening. Zelensky is aware of what's happening. Erdogan of Turkey, Armenia, North Africa, nations in North Africa. Can they assemble their armies in the next 6 months? I don't know how that would be possible. If the war begins next year, then Armageddon will be 2034. If it's this year, then Armageddon will take place 2033. And the way things are moving quickly, I've been thinking that this could be the year where Russia would come to the battle. But I have to wait on events, prophecies to be fulfilled before you can actually determine the exact timeline, and you will be able to, or we can, determine the exact timeline once the Russian war with all of the allies is concluded. So now we just have to wait, watch. There is a, out of the news today, Benjamin Netanyahu has not been seen physically. He hasn't addressed the nation or the world in the previous 4 days. There is some talk out of some of the Arab media that Benjamin Netanyahu may, may have been killed in an air attack. There's no confirmation, no proof. He may be injured. But as of today, presently at about 3:45 Mountain Time in Colorado on the 12th of March, Benjamin Netanyahu has yet to be address the nations or the country. We don't know. Presently, Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, not Benjamin Netanyahu, I'm sorry, Vladimir Putin, they are discussing possibly a way to cause maybe a halt or some type of truce in what is happening in Iran. It would take the Israeli government. Netanyahu would have to be involved. Do I think he's dead? No. He may be injured, keeping him from addressing the nation. I don't believe he's dead. If he is dead, if they did succeed, then the response of Israel and the United States jointly may be a response like we have never could have imagined. But we'll have to wait and see. Donald Trump, I know he is being informed as to what's happening. Probably he, of all people, I don't know, with the other nations, their intel, methods of gaining, how they get their intel, we don't know. There's no news coming out of Israel. It's their nighttime going to be. They're in 3 in the morning presently, I think, there now. Or, no, actually, it'd be about midnight, 1 o'clock. But we'll just have to wait and see. The Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, they are stating, along with many other conservatives, many people in the country, that they do not want to be in a boots-on-the-ground war. Well, even Owens and Carlson, others are saying that the Christian people are actually wanting war so that Christ can return. Well, there are those within the Christian community that don't understand prophecy, that believe that no matter what happens as far as the wars, how they escalate, they're going to be raptured. They're going to be pulled out of the hardship. Well, the news of the day is they will not be pulled out of the hardship. They will not be taken away to be with Christ. They will be left here on this, in this world, to suffer the tribulation that is coming to the whole world, to Israel as a nation, the Jewish people, to the nations of the world, all the nations, and to the Christian churches, all seven of the lampstands in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, and 3. They're not going to be taken out of the world. They're going to suffer. They're going to be put in a position where they're going to be forced to grow up, to mature spiritually. There's not going to be protest like there was protest in the Vietnam War against America's involvement in Vietnam. There isn't going to be any protest. These wars are not going to be halted. They're not going to be stopped. They are going to continue. They're going to become more violent, more frequent. A major conflict will be Russia in the very near future. If not this year, next year. That will be probably what you could term World War III. You could term the what we call the Gaza War and this conflict right now as a war. So it could be World War III already in part. But there will be definitely a great Russian war where Russia and Turkey and the armies out of Ethiopia, Somalia, Libya are going to be basically reduced to a percentage of what they are presently. That will be the major conflict before Armageddon, which would be 7 years following. But in between, the United States, I've mentioned this on previous programs, the United States, we are going to begin a campaign as a country. Not, I don't believe in the Trump administration like what will happen in the following administration. There will be a campaign on the nations of the war that resist, push back, or attempt to hinder America's plans for world hegemony. We basically do rule the world, you might say, from a distance. We want to rule the world not from a distance, but we want to rule the world. We want to have our presence everywhere, which is impossible through the militaries. We just don't have the way to be present in each country, in each landmass, in all the oceans, yet. But The technology is being developed to rule the world via satellite. So we can basically do whatever we would want to do to the nations of the world in a very negative way from the air. So the world is not out of trouble yet. Donald Trump presently is with his wanting to make America great, and in the country there are those that don't want this president to succeed. They want him removed. They're going to get their way. They're going to get their wishes. He will be removed. He will not finish a four-year term. Once he's replaced, this is when this country is going to be, you might say, will be put in a position to begin to be able to control the world, the nations. It is using Bible prophecy, eventually America will have a way to, like I had stated with many other, in many other programs, the prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 51 about America being the hammer of the world, a destructive force, a violent, destructive kingdom that will make the world a wilderness. That's Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20. Only one nation can fulfill that prophecy. One nation, it'd be a mystery nation in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, Mystery Babylon. Only one nation can fulfill that prophecy. Israel can't, Russia won't, China won't, EU nations collectively can't. There is no country presently, apart from the United States of America, that can fulfill Jeremiah 51, verse 20, 21, 2, and 3, I think it is. A hammer of the whole world that destroys everything. Relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, destroys militaries, destroys industry, manufacturing, will destroy all peace, all harmony, everything good. And this will be accomplished in the next administration, at the end of that final 3-4 years of that administration, is when this prophecy in Jeremiah 51, verse 20, it may begin right after the removal of the current president, Donald Trump, in steps. But eventually, the nations of the world and the leaders of the world, the leaders are going to be removed, replaced by those individuals that will, you might say, want to work with America, a harlot nation in the future. These things that I present to you, they are too bizarre. They may seem too strange, too odd. They're not. They're not. War right now that we're experiencing and the effects of the conflict, gas prices are higher, and there is people are just, you might say, taking a time out, maybe not wanting to make too many major decisions in their lives. Well, this is what the Bible, in many, throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, is saying, that there will come a time in mankind's history where all of a sudden something, it'd be like a rain, a spring rain coming upon an area, which would be the whole world, and everyone has to make their decisions whether to get under a tree, under shelter, but everything basically outside is going to be moved to the to a canopy of some kind. This is what war is doing, making everyone take a breath. Everyone is having to kind of, you might say, even though you have a busy schedule, you're having to take time to observe, to listen to the news, to see what's happening in the economy, with the banks, because also Christ said that in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 25, there'll come a time when, forget about the civilizations and what happens in the cultures and the within the nations. You'll have to look at the environment. You have to look to the sky to see what's happening in the heavens. You'll have to look to the oceans. And it says the oceans will begin to roar. The oceans, the environment will be affected. In Luke 21:25, Christ said there are going to be signs in the sun, the moon, stars. We just had another blood moon. We had an alignment of six planets. There are more to come, more signs in the heavens. Then on the earth, that's outside of the atmosphere, out in the heavens, you'll see have signs out there. Then on the earth itself, there's going to be anguish, distress in the cultures, in the nations, in the countries, anguish. There's going to be, Christ only used this word perplexity one time in his ministry, perplexity. I've mentioned this in previous programs numerous times. It's very important. It's always pertinent. Perplexity. There's going to be perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea and the waves. We're going to see things happen in the ocean that are going to be never heard of before. We've heard of, rogue waves sinking ships, massive ships, destroying passenger ships. But what's coming is going to be worse. Perplexity. No solutions. No answers. Conundrums. There will be just no way out. There's going to be things that will happen where you're frozen in place. Your mind is seized up. You don't have a way to remedy situations. What's the remedy right now in Iran? What is the remedy? You have the leaders of the world trying to decide what is the answer. Is there going to be an answer? Christ said there are going to be wars. And who is going to stop these wars? No one. Because what will happen in the time in which we live, the rulers of the world, they're the ones that make the decisions. And the British, who have for the last, I'd say 50 years, have been to a great extent part of a plan to control Iran, using Iran as a weapon against the United States in our policies. And right now, the British have always been involved in the wars. They say bankers. Well, the City of London, using the mechanism, the tool of the banks to fund the wars. But it's just a tool. The banks are just a tool. They're just the mechanisms. It's the men that are in the City of London, the British, who have from the time of 1875, Cecil B. Rhodes, who conceptualized a way in which the white man, and he'd use the term, the whites of the world, the white men, should control, they should be the ones to rule the world. The Anglo-Saxon. He was a bigot. He was anti-Semitic. He was prejudiced against anyone other than the fair-skinned people. The British government, they had to basically tone down the thought that, well, we don't want to tell the world that the white man is going to rule the world. But they changed it to the English-speaking countries would rule the world. And it was at that time that Rhodes put in a plan which was basically in the hands of Britain to bring about the vision that Rhodes had. And the British formed a private secret group in 1902 called the Pilgrim Society. I believe that was in January, February maybe. And within half a year, that plan, that chapter of British pilgrims in the City of London, they had a strategy. And there were hundreds and thousands of men that worked on the strategy. They were brilliant men, well-educated. The British were very disciplined, and they knew what individually they had to do, and these men were disciplined to be able to put together a way in which they could bring about world hegemony. But within 6 months, they needed also a sister chapter in the United States of America, which would be New York City. And the family that they looked to, that the City of London group needed more than any other family, they needed the Carnegies, they needed the Morgan, they needed all these these men who were bringing in the railroads and industry. But more than that, they needed the Rockefeller family. And the Rockefeller family was one of the, well, actually, was one of the families that was on the initial paperwork when Pilgrims New York City came into existence. They've always been, all of them. They don't like to admit it. They don't like the term Pilgrims to get out. They don't like that. They don't want it to be investigated. This is who Xi Jinping is at war with in the West. He's at war with the objectives of Cecil B. Rhodes. Cecil Rhodes. Part of the network eventually you would have Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum. You would have the Rockefeller family They would Federal Reserve, eventually World Bank, International Monetary Fund. You would have Trilateral Commission. This was all Cecil B. Rhodes. This was his vision, and they brought it to pass. And when the British went into the Middle East, into Israel, after the Arab families, the British were trying to control the Arab families during the time of Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence. T.E. Lawrence, he, brilliant man, but he had a change of heart concerning the Arab people. He was British to the bone, but he gave the Arab people a, you might say, a worldview. You will never amount to anything as long as you fight one another. And as long as you fight one another, you're going to be ruled over, like you've been ruled over for centuries. You're going to contend that is not going to change. But if you can work together, you Arab families, now that the beginning of the wealth, oil wealth in the area, if you can work together, you can free yourselves from British imperialism, from the French, from the Dutch, but you've got to work together. And T.E. Lawrence gave them a concept, and they were able to follow through. That's why you have the OPEC nations today, the Arab nations working basically to some degree together. What keeps them fighting amongst themselves is just their nature, firstly. Secondly, their religion. When you bring religion into it, you're going to have, you don't have, you know, Sunni, Shia, Wahhabi. No, you have hundreds of, or many, many different sects, and there'll never be unity within the evangelical Christian or the family of churches. In Revelation chapter 1, all of these seven lampstands, there will never be harmony either until the years prior to the return of Jesus Christ. It will be at that time that the structures, Catholicism, Lutheran Church, Episcopalians, those structures will be meaningless, and the people that are in these great assemblies that really have an experience of Christ will basically unite with one another apart from their structures. Catholics and evangelicals, Catholics and Lutherans, Lutherans, Episcopalians, they will, the true believers will put aside the structure to have a harmony within the family of Christ himself. This is a major, major threat to the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of Satan, to the nations of the world. It is a major threat. An example, Christ, on the day that he was tried and crucified, the threat were the disciples. And Peter denied the Lord three times. But Rome knew the threat. Christ was a threat. The Judaism, the Pharisees, they knew the threat, Christ, but not just Christ, the disciples. This is going to be the threat in the future with the Christian people. The Catholics, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, whatever branch of main denominations, they will, these structures will be unimportant. The cohesiveness of the children of God as believers, as God's children, that cohesiveness is what is going to eventually be evident to all of the people of this country and the people of the world. And that cohesiveness will, the people of the world cannot deny it. And the people who really want help, want to know God and be part of an eternal plan that God had from the beginning, will accept true God worship through these individuals. So, we are at the beginning of a period of time of, yes, the waves roaring, signs in the sky, wars, anxiety, but there's also this time of, again, perplexity, a time where without God giving you answers, you will be dismayed. During this time of perplexity, there will be answers that God can reveal to us, and He will. Decisions on getting out of debt, if you're in debt. I'm going to say this before I forget. It's going to come down to your trusting God solely. Everyone will trust Him. And those that are not Christian that are listening, when this group of Christians that are cohesive, that are not like the what Candace and Tucker and these people, they need the Lord. They don't see things clearly. They don't understand what's happening with Israel. They just have an opinion. But people will begin to see true Christians who have a loyalty, firstly, to God Himself. And only God is going to be able to give you that do not know Christ. He will answer your prayers as well, but you have to ask Him for help. When there are no answers, God will give you the answers you need. And what I was going to say, eventually it will come down to this. I'm just telling you now, ahead of time, everybody, it will come down to one prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name be great. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because earth is going to be hell. Give us this day our daily bread. This is what it's going to come down to for you who worry about, you know, your future and how you're going to eat. The Lord will give you what you need for the day. Give us this day our daily bread. God will provide what you need daily to stay alive for His purpose, for the plan He has for you. And right now, a main prayer needs to be what I'm going to present to you out of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Look at the Jeffrey Epstein scenario. If these people that had known Jeffrey Epstein and people in general, if they had been praying, Lord, lead me not into temptation, most likely they would have not been part of the system of control and evil and madness with Jeffrey Epstein or with the satanic cults in this country, in every state, in every county, in every city. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Evil is personified. Deliver us from the evil one. There is one out there from the beginning. Evil. Always evil. There is nothing good. Nothing good in this creature or his angelic servants, fallen angels and demons. Nothing holy. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We're in the time of perplexity. It's only going to, I don't know what the term, it's going to get worse. You're going to, daily, there are going to, things will happen that you need an answer for and you may not have an answer. Pray. Even if you don't know the Lord, pray. God answers everybody. I used to pray, and eventually it led to my salvation. But I knew to pray and ask for God's help as a former Catholic. I had to make a decision, and I made a move, and God, through His sovereign hand, had me basically leave Catholicism into evangelical Christianity because of the freedom there was to accomplish and to obey what God would have for me in my future, to be a minister. In the Catholic Church, to be a priest, you don't know what you've got to go through to be a priest. You have to be one of the selected few, less than a hundredth of a percent or a thousandth of a percent of individuals could ever be a priest in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the structure, forbids anybody but the priest from handling the things of God. That limits that church, Thyatira, it limits the individuals in there to be pew sitters, but not in the evangelical church. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can follow the Spirit, follow the Lord's leading as He leads you, directs you, and you are free to be someone who is active and busy in the things of God. If individuals are called to be pastors, not women, men, I do not believe that there were ever apostle women that were apostles or pastors. I take Paul's position. For the same reason that he takes that position, because of spiritual powers. And for the women, not to offend you, but women, there are more women in the occult in this country and in the world into forms of powerful voodoo, witchcraft, sorcery, because they're open to it. And Paul knows, he knew that women were very susceptible to things moving in the atmosphere that you don't see. And it was evident to me, thinking about what happened in the 60s in Colorado and in America, the new way, what we call the term New Age movement, and the people in the occult that would become to have the most power would not be women. It would be the men. Eventually, the men would have the great spiritual power via witchcraft, Aleister Crowley, Anton LaVey, etc. Because these men, God had always intended that men would be the spiritual, you might say, leaders, or have the great spiritual connection to God. But women would too, but not like men. It happens, what happens in the body of Christ happens in the occult world, in the world of witchcraft. Oh, you have Abramovich, people like this, but they're doing the casting of spells. It's the men who actually lead the very powerful satanic, eyes wide shut, witchcraft. Whether tell Candace, tell Tucker that the wars are, and for everyone listening, if you are thinking that you want to begin to protest the wars, go right ahead. You can go to Washington. You can go to the state capitals. You can protest. You can get signs up. You can have sit-ins, stand-ins, whatever you want to do. The Lord Jesus said, the wicked, when they come to power, their objective is to throw the world into eternal cage fight. A cage fight. That is what Satan would do. Turn the world into endless wars. And it would be, the orders would be given in the power centers of the world, which would be City of London, England and Germany, EU, the United States. These people would give the orders, and then the bankers and the insurance companies and the corporations, everybody else would have to obey. When the government begins to throw money at the military for bullets and guns, these companies have to take the contracts. They may not want to for the sake of conscience, but they have to build the weapons for the coming wars. Israel is going to be the target. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, this guy Fuentes, and all of these people that don't understand that these conflicts have an objective, the destruction and total elimination of the Jewish people. And in within the Jewish family, there are those that are absolutely, totally corrupt and worship Satan. I'll make you clear on that. There are these members within the Jewish family. Remember, there were 12 sons. One of the sons, Dan, the prophecy is he would bite at the strike at the heels of the rider on a horse. That rider would be Christ, and the serpent in the lineage would be the children of Dan, who would eventually move out of the area and go out into the world. And we know some of their names presently. They may be Jewish, but they hate Israel. They hate the Jewish people. They hate their ancestry. They hate mankind. They love evil. They love child sacrifice. They love sacrifice in general. They love war. They love death. These would be the Danites, like, I believe, George Soros and his son, Alexander, and I think Henry Kissinger. If you could get their DNA, there are these men out there, people and families, that have DNA going back to Judas Iscariot and back to the lineage of Dan. Netanyahu is not part of that lineage. I don't care what anybody says. Is he deceived? Maybe. Maybe. God will determine that. But he is the man that the Lord has placed in the position to carry out these victories for the nation of Israel. I do not believe he's dead yet. I don't think he has finished what God intended for him to do. Now, if he is dead, there's nobody to replace him. And Israel is going to be in a real precarious situation. They already are. But the wars, no one is going to stop the wars. There are prophecies in the book of Job, chapter 36:6, about the wicked man, Kalmani, who was destroyed 36 years and half 36 years, 6 months after he started his reign and rule in Iran. There was a ministry I was listening to. They used that verse in Job 36:6, meaning 36 years, 6 months is how long the wicked man would live, and he would rule, but God would replace him, and then the innocent, the families that needed protection, meaning the Jewish people, would have to be protected. For 36 years and 36 and a half years, Khomeini built bullets, missiles, RPG rockets, bombs, everything, an army, training Muslim children to be an army, to always to have the hatred that needed for perpetual war against Israel. And then in Jeremiah 49, I think it's 29 through the end of the chapter, an area called Elam that God would punish once again because of their hatred of Israel, which is southwest Iraq, Iran, the area that is presently being bombarded. So it is in the Bible, chapter 47 and 48 and 49 of the book of Jeremiah are talking about the period of time in which we live right now, and is discussing what happens in Gaza, in Syria, in parts of Western Saudi Arabia, and what would happen in Iran, and what would happen in the nation of Jordan. It's all in Jeremiah 47, 8, and 9. So it is in the Bible. And the Christian people that are saying, yeah, we want war, we want death, we want Iran to be taken out, because it's in the Bible, it's in the scripture. God is punishing those countries for their hatred toward Israel. But these individuals are thinking, well, we're not going to be here, so we don't need to worry about it. Our kids aren't going to go to war. Listen, already there's talk in this administration about another draft. I have talked about this going back to 2025 and later, earlier than that. America would have a draft once again. The nations will have a draft. Germany right now, they're planning on bringing back draft programs in Germany. There's a draft program in Ukraine right now. In Russia, they're volunteer. But yes, in this country, there's going to most likely be once again a what we would call in a maybe a different flavor, a different way, a draft, conscription. There will be wars, and even Donald Trump is not going to be excluded from that plan that Christ said would occur, and what Joel says. God is going to call the nations together. God is going to tell the nations. Joel said, prepare your countries, your industry. Take what you use to produce food, your crops. Take the metal, take the energy, take the rubber, prepare for war. Because we're in the final decade of the final wars of that precede Christ's coming. We're not going to, there's not going to be peace. There might, there are like the stock market, a little bit of up and a little bit of down. But it basically, the threat and the increased conflict is going up, not down. It may plateau for a second or a month, but it's going to continue to go up. After the Russian war is finished, there might be a little period of time where there's going to be some type of stability. But everything is moving, and the Pentagon and the military of our country and of the nations, I've stated this, I'll continue to state it. They read the book of Revelation. They read chapter 16, verse 16, the kings of the east coming to Israel, a long strip of land north and south where there's going to be conflict and war. And the nations are going to gather there. All of the Arab, Islam, those that are in Islam, those from the West, the United States and Europe, China, they're all coming. They want Jerusalem. They want to fight Christ and take Jerusalem out of Christ's hand. Literally, if they can destroy Christ, and they're coming to fight him, they're not just coming to eliminate the Jewish people, which is a big part of it. They're coming to fight and make war against God himself, to make war against Christ. The king of the Jews are coming to wage war against him. Israel is part of it. And they're going to get close to succeeding. They'll be close to accomplishing their objectives, but they're going to use technology, every form of new type of weaponry. They're going to use scalar energy, that what they're trying to do at CERN, all of this. They're going to use every bit of technology, unknown ways in which to bend time, whatever. And they believe they're going to be able to use all that Satan will reveal to them to interfere with the spiritual world, and they'll be able to use that against Christ and defeat him. He'll laugh at him. He will laugh at him. He created time. He can speed it up. He can slow it down. He can stop the sun in its orbit or stop the earth from rotating. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. A time of perplexity, great stress, anxiousness, but the hope is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the hope of the world. He was the hope to Israel when he appeared. He was the hope to the people that were demon-possessed, the people that were lame, that were blind, the people that had withered hands. He was the hope when he returned, when he came the first time. He is the hope presently. Podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com. My contact information, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. So, may the Lord Jesus be your peace. Yes, wars are coming, but the end is not yet. May he be your peace. May you just ask him for help. He will answer. Visit again. Bye.